Everyone. So tonight we're going to talk about something from the Introduction to the Tsar that is one of the most amazing articles that I think exists. So it talks about locks, openings, and chambers. And I'm going to read it and translate and we'll talk about it. יש להבין היטב מהו מנעולין ומהו פתחין ומהו היכלין. So we have to understand what locks, openings, and chambers are. So it's three different kinds of forms or shapes of things that come one on top of the other. And Rav Ashlag is saying it's, you know, it's a very deep study and I'm going to try and explain it as much as I can. Even though I don't think I can do it the greatest. So it's very hard to understand and it's an amazing concept and it's very deep. So it says, so the creator created the world for the creatures to have pleasure. Yes, we know that the creation, the original thought of creation was to give pleasure to the created. And the creature, us, has no pleasure from being separated from the creator. So there's two things here. It says that the creator would love to exist in the lower chambers with us, with the creatures that were created. But the creatures don't necessarily want to exist in the world of the creator. So it's two opposite things. Yes, you're with me? Okay. ולא עוד אלה שאמרו חז"ל, נתבע הקדוש ברוך הוא. והצד השווה להבין בית עניינים אלו המכחישים זה את זה. So we need to understand how these two things are connected, even though they're completely opposite from each other. העולם נברא בהחלף גמור מהשם יתברך מהקצה לקצה. Our universe was created in the complete opposite of what the creator is. Completely, from one point to another. כי העולם הזה נברא בבחינת הרצון לקבל. This world was created from the desire to receive, שהוא צורה הפוכה כלפי השם יתברך, which is the exact opposite of the creator, right? There's no desire to receive in the creator at all. And our world was created from the desire to receive. שאין פה מרצון זה אפילו משהו. He doesn't even have a spark. The creator doesn't even have a spark of desire to receive. ומבחינה זו נמצאים לנו כל עיני הנהגה מהשגתו יתברך בעולם הזה. So everything that goes on in this world, in our universe, which is from the creator, is the exact opposite of the thought of creation. בעולם הזה בסתירה גמורה לקוטב מחשבת הבריאה, which is the exact opposite of the thought of creation. שהיא רק ליהנות לנבריו, because the thought of creation was just to give joy to the creatures, כי כן הוא לפי הרצון לקבל שבנו שהוא הטעימה, באמת המידה שלנו. So the amount of desire that we have is what we get, but it's completely opposite from what the creator wanted to give us. Because the creator wanted to give us everything. The creator had no desire to receive, yet we live in the world of desire to receive. Everyone there so far? We're good? Okay. וזה סוד המנעולין. That is the secret of the locks שעל השערים, that are on the gates. כי באמת כל ריבוי הסתירות נגד ייחודו יתברך שאנו תואמים בעולם הזה. So all of the things in this universe that we taste from, that are the exact opposite of what the creator wanted to give us, אף על פי שמתחילים אין מפרידות אותנו מהשם יתברך. Even though from the beginning, they were from the creator. They completely separate us from the creator because it's in this universe. What does that mean? That in this universe, we taste a million different things. And most of it comes from our desire to receive for the self alone, our desire to receive. Now, the creator has no desire to receive. The only reason why the creator created the world was so that the creator could give to the created. Yet, what we enjoy in this world separates us from the creator. Everybody with me? הנה בהיותנו מתאמצים לקיים התורה והמצוות באהבה בכל נפשנו ומעדינו כמצווה עלינו. So if we work with all our soul, with all our might, to do what the Torah says, to do what the mitzvot say, with all our love, דיינו, על מנת להשפיע נחת רוח ליצורנו, only for the sake of giving joy to the creator, right? We've heard before about the concept of learning for only the sake of giving joy to the creator. So people think that when they start learning spirituality, it's because they need to learn it for themselves. But the ultimate level is to understand that the only reason that we do the Torah and mitzvot is so that we can give joy to the creator. That's like the ultimate level of where to get to. וכל אלו כוחות הפירוד אינם משפיעים עלינו לגרוע משהו מאהבת השם. If we're able to get to that place that we do the Torah and we do the mitzvot and we do everything from love, then nothing can separate us from the creator. None of what we taste in this universe can separate us from the creator. Because remember, in this world that the creator created, everything is absolutely the opposite from the original thought of creation. Right? The original thought of creation was we're here just to receive pleasure from the creator. Right? So we're here just to receive joy of the creator. But in the meantime, there was this creation created where we taste from this universe, olam hazeh, this physical universe. So if we're able to do the Torah, to do the mitzvot, then none of what we taste from here can separate us from the creator. Because the more that we fall into the negativity or the challenges or the good things that we see in this world, the more it can separate us from the creator. בכל נפשנו ונדנו, אז כל סתירה וסתירה שהתגברנו עליה נעשית שער להשגת חוכמתו יתברך. So every time we're able to overcome any of those challenges, any of those things that we taste from in this universe, all of those challenges become gates for us to be able to go in and open the locks. So imagine every time that we go through some kind of, it's not just negativity, every time we take the chocolate cake, or every time we go after our desire, or every time we do something that we want to do because we feel that, you know, instant gratification, and we're able to overcome it so that it doesn't distract us from being with the creator, it becomes a gate that opens. כי כל סתירה יש בה סגולה מיוחדת לגלות מדרגה מיוחדת בהשגתו יתברך. Because every one of those challenges, every one of those things that we overcome, becomes a different level, a different step for us to get closer to the creator. ואלו הזכאים שזכו לזה נמצאים מהפכים חשוכה לנאורה. So those people that are able to do that are people that transform darkness into light. שזכו לזה נמצאים מהפכים חשוכה לנאורה ומרע and bitter to sweet. כי כוחות הפירוד כולם, because all of the forces of negativity that try and keep us separate, הם מבחינת חשיכת השכל. What is the force of negativity? It's a force that tries to convince us through our intelligence and through our desire to be separate from the creator. And what does that make? It makes everything bitter. But if we're able to overcome that, if we're able to overcome the separation, and מבחינת מרירות הגוף, even from the bitterness of the body, נעשה לנו שערים להשגת מדרגות נשגבות. They become gates so that we can go higher and higher. ונעשה החושך לאור. And the darkness becomes light. ואמר נעשה מתוק. And the bitter becomes sweet. באופן שבשיעור הזה שהיה להם מקודם, לכן כל ההשגות התברך לבחינת כוחות דיברורן, תפכו להם הצעת. Okay. So as much as we're able to overcome something. Let's say we have a great desire for something that's not good for us. Right? And it's a gigantic, enormous desire. As much as we're able to overcome that desire, that's how much we're going to get closer to the creator. So all of that energy, all of that passion, all of that, whatever it is for the wrong side, will help us to overcome and get closer to the creator that much more. נתהפכו להם עתה, כולם לבחינת כוחות ייחודה. So everything that separated us on that that intensity will now bring us closer, will unify us to the Creator. And not just that, we'll be able to bring the whole universe to a place of merit, to a place of being able to unify instead of separate. Because every single strength now is part of the gate of righteousness, that through there they'll be able to receive from the Creator. Everything that the Creator wanted to give us in the thought of creation, they'll be able to receive through this gate. That's the gate that the righteous will open so that they can go in. So what is the locks? The locks are all of the desires that we have from this universe. So let's go back before I go on. We have the thought of creation, the Creator, and this universe. The Creator created this universe with the original thought to give pleasure to the creatures. That's it. In the meantime, this universe was created, and we, as the creatures, have a desire, right? In order for us to receive from the Creator, what had to happen? We had to have a desire. So the Creator had to instill within us the desire. What happened on the way? This world tastes good. It doesn't taste bad, right? All the things in this world don't taste bad. They taste good. So what can be the danger? The danger can be that we fall into the pleasures of this world, if it's negative or positive. We fall into the pleasures of this world, and slowly, slowly, we separate ourselves from the Creator. Why? Because in the Creator, there's no desire to receive. Absolutely not even a little bit of desire to receive. So the fact that we were created like that, the thought of creation originally was for the Creator to give. It had nothing to do with us receiving. The only reason why we had the desire was so that we could receive. In the meantime, we created these locks. How do we create these locks? Every time we separate ourselves more and more by enjoying the physicalities of the universe to a place where we separate ourselves from the Creator, not to a place where we understand that we're part of the Creator. So every time, and what did the Creator give us? The Torah and mitzvot. Very simple. The Torah and mitzvot is the system for us to be able to get closer to the Creator. Because already in the beginning, it was the exact opposite. After this universe was created, it was the exact opposite of the Creator. The exact opposite. The Creator is complete desire to give. The creatures are complete desire to receive. Two complete opposites. So what do we have? What system do we have? The Torah and mitzvot. So if we're able, during this whole time, to do Torah and mitzvot, but from a place of complete love, of complete passion, of complete understanding that we're doing it so that the Creator can enjoy. It's not even for us. The complete level is so that the Creator can enjoy. Then slowly, slowly, we'll get back to a place of unification with the Creator. Because every time we slowly, slowly separate ourselves and we create the locks. Everyone okay? Omnam miterem shezochim lehefech mibchinat haratzon lekabel shebanu. So before we even are able to go into our desire to receive for the self alone, al yedei Torah v'mitzvot, with the Torah and mitzvot, lekabana al menat lashpia. So even before we get to a place that we can transform the desire to receive for the self alone to the desire to share through the Torah and mitzvot, nimtzaim manulim chazakim al otam asherim lashem. There are very strong locks on all of the gates of the Creator. Ki az yesh lahem tufkid hafuch, because then they have an opposite job. Dainu l'archik otanu meshem itbarach, to keep us separate, to keep us away from the Creator. Al ken nikreim elu hakochot diprudah b'shem manulim. So those energies, those strengths are called locks, because they're the ones that keep us away from the Creator, and that's their job. Ki sotmim et sharei ha'itkavut v'archikim otanu meshem itbarach. They're the ones that close the gates of getting closer to the Creator and get us away from the Creator. They make us go farther away. Aval im anu mitgabrim alehem, but if we overcome them, shelo yashpia lanu litzanen avat yitbarach milibenu, that they won't cool us off from loving the Creator. Ine az nevachim amnaulim v'nasim pitchin. Then the locks become openings. Remember in the beginning I said locks, openings, and chambers. So what happens? Every time we have something that looks to us like it's getting us further and further away from the Creator, it's absolutely right. This thing was created to keep us away from the Creator. What are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? That's where we understand that if we're able to overcome that, and we're able to overcome what's the coolness of the heart, meaning, and it doesn't have to be bad things. That's what I always say. It doesn't have to be bad things. It could be things that we think we're absolutely right about. But those are the things that are keeping you away from the Creator. If those things keep you away from the Creator and you're able to overcome them, those locks become openings. And the darkness becomes light, ואמר למתוק, and the bitter to the sweet. והוא משום שעל כל מנעול ומנעול מקבלים אנו מדרגה מיוחדת בהשגתו יברך ונשים לפתחים. Because then on every single lock that exists, we receive elevation, and all of those locks become openings. All of those locks become openings. למדרגות של השגה בו יתברך, so that we can reach the level of the Creator. ואלו המדרגות שאנו מקבלים על הפתחים נעשו להיכלות החוכמה. And all of those openings that exist become for us places to receive all of the light of the Creator, which are called chambers. So it's the different levels. There's the locks, there's the openings, and there's the chambers. הרי איך שהמנעולים הפתחים והיכלים הם גימל צורות העוברות על חומר אחד שלנו, the way that the locks, openings, and chambers are three things that are up to our desire, they happen and they open according to our desire. שמיתרם שאנו הופכים אותו לקבלה על מנת להשפיע, נחת רוח ליוצרנו, הופך החומר הזה לפי הטעם שלנו, את האור לחושך. Okay, so the minute that we understand that we can receive in order to give pleasure to the Creator, then we ourselves are the ones that change all of those locks according to our desire. We're the ones that change the darkness to light and the bitterness to sweet, or the opposite. If we let ourselves cool down and not be close to the Creator, we're creating the locks. If we're able to overcome it, we're creating the openings. It's all according to our desire. כי כל הנהגת השגחתו יתברך מחיקות אותן ממנו ובעת ההיא נעשה מהרצון לקבל שבאנו בחינת מנעולים. Because everything that in this universe keeps us far away from the Creator, at the same time that it keeps us far away from the Creator, our desire to receive creates a lock. So every time we fall into something, good or bad, again, it doesn't have to be bad. It doesn't have to be negative. It can look like a chocolate cake. But every time we fall into it, we create another lock. Every time. וכל תשובתנו שזוכים אנו לקבלה על מנת להשפיע, נעשו כל המנעולים תפחים. And then, if we have the merit to do tshuva and to understand how we can become closer to the Creator, or how we're doing the Torah and mitzvot just to bring pleasure to the Creator, then we create the openings. So it's everything is according to our desire. Okay. So let's talk about this a little bit. So we have locks, openings, and chambers. What are the locks for you? What are the locks?
Financial locks.
What?
Financial? No.
Okay. I mean, I'm not talking about what do you, one of my locks is eating things that I love that are not good for me. That's one of my locks. But I do it anyway. One of my locks is, there are people who their locks is, they believe in all of the Torah mitzvot, but according to what they want to do. What does that mean? What does that mean? There's no such thing. There's no such thing as half pregnant. You're either pregnant or you're not. So every time, and we create those locks nonstop. Why? Because it's not comfortable for us. It's not comfortable. Who said it's supposed to be comfortable? No one said it's supposed to be comfortable. The Torah mitzvot are not supposed to be comfortable. What are they supposed to be? They're supposed to be a system to keep us closer to the Creator. Setu. Just to keep us closer to the Creator. But every time we do something that's not good for us, that hurts another human being, that we are, you know, manipulating. You can't manipulate the Creator. You can try and manipulate yourself. You can try and manipulate other people, but you can't manipulate the Creator. So every time we try to manipulate, every time we don't have faith, every time we, whatever it is, we're creating another lock. We are the only ones that can open those locks. But what happens? We sit around and wait for the Creator to open the locks. Impossible. The system is here. We open, we lock. We want the openings. The Creator gave you a key. Here's the key. Here's the key to all the locks. Use it. But no, because it's not comfortable. Because this universe, we have the things we love. All of us, we have the things we love. We have the things we don't want to do. No one said it's comfortable. No one. No one said it's comfortable. Why? Because from the thought of creation, we were separated automatically from the Creator. We didn't want to be with the Creator. We wanted to enjoy creation, which is fine. If you're able to overcome and understand, Torah and mitzvot were put there so that we can open the locks. So we can open the locks. Because that's the only way that we can transform the desire to receive into a place that we can receive from the Creator. Not receive from this universe. It's like the Creator created a universe, but we forgot that the Creator created it. So what are we busy with? The universe. But why was I always imagine that the universe was created as a playground for us so that the Creator can give us. What happens in the meantime? We forgot. We're busy with the playground and the swing set and the sandbox and all those things, but we forgot why we're here. The only reason we're here is so that the Creator can give us. But if we create locks, Creator's not going to open them. We're going to open them. So the only way we can open them was the system that was given to us. There's a system. We run away from the system. So again, what are the locks? What are the locks? No one wants to say anything. Okay. Think about it for yourselves. I'm sure you can think about it. Yeah, everybody knows what their own locks are. Okay, so let's go on. I'm going to go back to it. Don't worry. I'm going to go back to it. But I want to go on and share something from the Zohar so we can understand a little bit more. So it says, there's a couple of psukim here, and you'll understand what it's talking about when I read it. Rabbi Chiya prostrated himself on the earth, kissed the dust, and cried out, "Dust, dust, how stiff-necked, stubborn you are. How shameless you are that all the delights of the eye perish within you." So Rabbi Chiya is now crying. He's on the ground crying, saying, how stubborn are you to the ground? How shameless are you that you're taking away all of the delights of the eye? You consume all the beacons of light in the world and grind them. He's talking to the earth. You take all of the beacons of light in the world and put them in the ground. How impertinent you are. The holy luminary that illuminated the world, the great leader who governs the entire world and whose merit sustains the world, is consumed by you. Rabbi Shimon, the light of the illumination, the light of the worlds. So what is Rabbi Chiya crying about? When Rabbi Shimon passed away, Rabbi Chiya is saying, how dare you, to the ground, take away the light of the world? It can't be. You perish in the dust while you sustain and govern the world. He then fell into a reverie for a moment and said, dust, dust, be not proud, because the pillars of the world will not be delivered into your hands, and Rabbi Shimon shall not be consumed by you. We're good so far? Rabbi Chiya stood up and walked along weeping, accompanied by Rabbi Yossi. He fasted from that day on for 40 days so that he might meet with Rabbi Shimon. So he wanted to be able to go up and meet Rabbi Shimon in the sky above, so he fasted. They told him, you are not fit to see him. He then wept and fasted for another 40 days. They showed him Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar's son in a vision. They were discussing the interpretation of that word which Rabbi Yossi mentioned in the name of Rabbi Shimon, and many thousands were listening to his words. So now Rabbi Chiya is up there. He finally was able to go up and meet with Rabbi Shimon. And he sees Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar talking with thousands about something. Meanwhile, he saw many great celestial wings, so he saw all the angels. Rabbi Shimon and his son Rabbi Elazar mounted on them and were borne aloft to the heavenly yeshiva. So Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar are on all the wings of the angels. And all those wings were waiting for them. All these angels were waiting for Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar. He then saw that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar were renewed constantly by their own splendor and shone more than the sun. They were renewed constantly because they had such faith. Rabbi Shimon opened the discussion by saying, "Let Rabbi Chiya enter and see how much the Holy One, blessed be He, shall restore the faces of the righteous in the world to come." So what is he saying? Because Rabbi Chiya, where is Rabbi Chiya in his head? He's saying, how dare the earth take Rabbi Shimon? What is Rabbi Shimon showing him? Let him come in and see how the righteous, what the real world is in the world to come. How happy is he who comes here without shame? How happy is he who stands erect in that world as a strong pillar that bears all? Someone who has no shame, who knows they have 100% belief in the Creator, has no problem. Rabbi Chiya saw himself entering, and Rabbi Elazar stood up. So did all of the pillars of the world, which had previously been sitting there. So all of the righteous are there, and they all stood up. They all stood up before Rabbi Chiya, and he, Rabbi Chiya, was embarrassed. They're all standing up for him. He comes in, and all of these great people are standing up. As he entered, he detached himself and sat at the feet of Rabbi Shimon. So he went, he made sure that he wasn't, and he sat at the feet of Rabbi Shimon. A voice came forth saying, "Lower your eyes. Do not raise your head up and do not look." He lowered his eyes and saw a light that shone from afar. The voice returned and said, "You hidden and unseen celestials on high, you who are clever and wander throughout the world, behold and see, earthly beings that are in slumber with the light of your eyes concealed in your eye sockets, wake up." What does that mean? People who are alive and awake and still have their eyes are completely concealed to the truth. Who among you has during his lifetime in this world transformed darkness into light and the taste of bitter into sweet before he came here? This is exactly what we're talking about. Who among you has opened the locks and the openings and the chambers? Who was able to convert all of those tests and challenges and whatever it is? Who was able to convert it from bitter to sweet before he came, before he went up? Who among you has awaited eagerly every day the light that shines when the king calls upon the gazelle? Who in the morning gets up before sunrise to do a connection, to pray, to scan, to do something? As then the glory of the king increases, and he is called the king of all other kings of the world, because he does not await eagerly for this every day, as he lives in that world, meaning this world, has no part here. Meanwhile, he saw many of his friends gathering around the standing pillars, and he saw how they elevated them to the heavenly yeshiva. Some were ascending while others were descending. And high above them all, he saw the owner of the wings, who is Metatron, approach. So, what are we reading here? How many of us, you know, because Rabbi Chiya was stuck in the fact that Rabbi Shimon wasn't there physically. But what was it in the end? To understand that if we're able to transform darkness to light in our life, who is it that we don't have faith in? Rabbi Chiya didn't have faith that the Creator was taking care of Rabbi Shimon. We don't have faith in the system that was given to us. We were given a system. And we're told locks, openings, chambers, and we're told that the locks have a job to keep us away from the Creator. That's their job. What are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? I want you to take a minute, write it down for yourselves. If you don't want to share it, it's fine. But if you need a paper or something, we'll give you a paper. Write down for yourself, what are your locks? Write them down on your phone, wherever. Write it down for 2 seconds. At home also, write it down. What are your locks? Because in order to be able to open the locks, we need to know what our locks are. And don't be in denial of our locks. Some of us might have a problem with believing in ourselves, believing in other people, believing in the system, believing in anything. What are our locks? Because again, the thought of creation was to give pleasure to the creatures. And really, there's no pleasure, the creatures don't see pleasure from the Creator. We're stuck in this world. And not just that, We're told that the Creator would rather be with us here in this world, but we don't want to. We don't want to. Because the common thing is to understand two things. We need to understand why the world was created and what we are doing here. The world was created so that we could give pleasure to the Creator, yet we disconnect ourselves. Slowly, slowly, we disconnect ourselves. So that when the Creator is, you know, is watching us, this world is completely opposite to him. This world is completely opposite to him. So it means that we have these locks on these gates so that we can get closer. Because the locks are there to keep us away, because we need to want to get closer. The Creator can't do anything for you. You have to do it yourself. Doesn't mean I believe in the Creator. I talk to the Creator. What, really? Okay. There's only one system to talk to the Creator. Torah mitzvot. That's it. That's the only system we have that we can talk to the Creator. Because you know what? How do you know? Some things can be from Satan too. Some things can be from Satan too. If your intention is pure, and most of us are not, if your intention is pure, that I'm doing the Torah mitzvot so that I can get closer to the Creator, because I know that the whole point is to bring pleasure to the Creator. How many of us think of that every day? Zero. I can guarantee it. Zero. We either do the Torah mitzvot because we're used to it, or we do the Torah mitzvot because we think it's some kind of a spiritual thing, or we do the Torah mitzvot because everybody else is doing it. But none of us realize that this is the system. This is the system to open the locks in our life. That's it. There's no other system. If there is another system that exists from the beginning of time, I'm willing to go after it. But there isn't. This is what the Creator created. The Creator created the world so that we could enjoy it. So that we could enjoy the pleasure of the Creator. But in the meantime, we have this world. So does it mean that we're supposed to stop enjoying? No. We're just not supposed to let it cool us down, cool our hearts down from understanding what we're doing here. And everybody is capable of doing the Torah mitzvot if they want to. There's no such thing as I can't. No such thing as I can't. It's not comfortable. I don't want to. It doesn't fit into my lifestyle. What lifestyle? There's only one lifestyle. The Creator. And we need to believe, we don't need to believe, but we would want to believe that the Creator is there for us. So we're giving locks. And we're given also the openings in the chambers. Why are they there? If it was just the locks and there was no openings in chambers, I can understand. But it says that the locks are there and their job is to keep us away. Same as Satan. Satan's job is not to keep us away from the Creator, but to keep us in a place where we think we're close to the Creator. Because we each think we're doing something, and we might be doing something, but we each think we're doing something right. But we could be so sure that we're right that we're in complete denial. The same way that we're in denial that our world is completely opposite of the Creator. Okay, so now you wrote down your locks. Can you guys share at least one way you think that you could start opening the locks? Okay.
So the way to attack it is just be proactive and everything that comes up, take care of it right away.
Right away, exactly. Yeah. It's a big one. Why? Because when we procrastinate, and all of us do it, then we're not taking anything seriously. What's procrastination? It's not serious, I'll do it later. Then everything becomes, I'll do it later. We all do it. But then we're not taking ourselves seriously, we're not taking the Creator seriously, and we're not taking things around us seriously. Everything is the Creator. You might hate the person in front of you, but what's the message? He might be completely wrong in the way he's saying it to you. He might be a completely bad person, but what's the message? If the message is right, it's the message. It's not even about don't kill the messenger. It's what's the message? So if the message is that there's locks on the gates And first of all, we need to understand that when we do the Torah and mitzvot with love, with happiness, not Torah and mitzvot because that's what we learned when we were little and that's what we were taught and that's what we need to do. No, because that's not the point. It's to do it with love, and then nothing can affect us. Nothing can affect us. But if we procrastinate, or if we try and cheat, or if we say, you know, it's not so bad, what are we cheating? We're cheating ourselves. Who are we lying to? We're lying to ourselves. We're not lying to the Creator. You can try and lie to everybody around you, but you can't lie to yourself. At the end of the day, you can't lie to yourself. You have to be at least true to yourself. So who are we cheating? Every contradiction has a gate that we can overcome and go into. Every contradiction, everything in our lives that's not working, if you're doing the same thing for more than 2 years and it's not working, change it. Anything. If you're doing something for more than 2 years and it's not working for you, change it. Why would you stay with it? Why? Because you're used to it? I have too many Tauruses in the room right now. Because you're used to it? Used to it isn't going to open any locks. It's not. Because we are creatures of habit, because we're afraid of ourselves. We're afraid of change. We're afraid of confrontation. We're afraid of confronting ourselves. We're afraid of everything. But what is that? It's an excuse. It's the biggest excuse that exists. I'm afraid. It's an excuse. I'm afraid. So if you tell a person you're afraid, what can they say? What are they going to tell you? They can't say anything. It's the biggest cop-out that exists. I'm afraid. I'm afraid means no one's going to push me now because I'm afraid. So no one's going to, you know, she's afraid, leave her alone. No. You're only putting more locks on yourself. You're only putting more locks there. What was Rabbi Chiya? Why was he so embarrassed? Because he didn't believe. He didn't believe there was a system. He didn't believe that Rabbi Shimon was the light of the world, still exists in the world to come. He didn't believe until he went up there, and then, oh my God, all these people are standing in front of him, getting up and standing. What did he do? He went to sit at the legs of Rabbi Shimon because he realized what he was saying. Only people who take the risk of turning darkness into light can merit that. What does that mean? It's a risk. It's a risk to go after what you think is darkness and turn it to light. It's not easy. You're opening Pandora's boxes, big time. Only people who have 100% faith in the Creator, in the system, can actually go and open locks. They can actually go and open locks, and then they can turn the darkness into light. But it can't happen without that. It can't happen with, let me go back here and say, to the extent that they previously had all the conducts of his guidance towards the forces of separation, meaning that they took all of the things that they fell into in this world and fell into those forces of separation. To that extent, they'll now be able to transform into forces of unification. And they'll be able to sentence the entire world to the side of merit. Because now each force serves them as a gate. So every single force that you created that was a lock, the minute that you are understanding that the Torah and mitzvot and the point is to get closer to the Creator, that minute, you opened all the gates. All those locks that you created are now open. So it's like when we talk about all of your sins become merits. What does that mean, all of your sins become merits? When you get to a place that you understand that the Creator has everything for us, and through the Torah and mitzvot, we're going to get closer to the Creator, and that through understanding that there's a system and having faith, we can transform every negativity we did, every lock that we created, into an opening. But before understanding, before being able to transform the desire to receive in us through the Torah and mitzvot, before we get there, into being able to receive in order to give to the Creator, there are strong locks on those gates. on the way to the Creator. It says it in the Zohar. I can read it in a second. For then they have the opposite role, to drive us away from the Creator. This is why the forces of separation are called locks, since they block the gates of approaching and drive us away from the Creator. It says in the Zohar, in verse 121 of the introduction, 121. At the end of all those gates, he set up a gate with many locks, many openings, and many chambers, one on top of the other. He said, whoever wants to reach me must first pass through this gate. Whoever enters through this gate may enter. The same applies here as the first gate to supernal wisdom is the fear of Hashem, which is Malchut. This is why it's called the beginning. And it says, where's the thing about the locks? I think it was in 30. Give me 1 second. Any questions in the meantime? No? No questions?
So it's not an instantaneous process.
It can be. Depends how willing you are. I can't find it now. It depends how willing you are to confront it.
Yeah, but isn't even in the process of confronting it, aren't you?
The minute you confront, the minute you know that you are in darkness and you're ready to confront it, it opens.
But don't you also have to follow the Torah and the
Mitzvah? Oh, absolutely. You have to do it. Yes, I mean, if you're going to start and then you're going to run away because you're afraid that you started and now you have to actually do it, it doesn't work. You've created more locks and more locks and more locks. Yeah, but it can also be instantaneous. It's a decision. The same way we decide to do something that is easy and maybe not good for us, but it's comfortable, the same way we can decide to do the right thing. There's no difference. Light switch. You turn on or you turn it off. It's a decision. Every lock that we put,
like about procrastination or laziness, that's related to Torah and Mitzvot.
Everything is. I mean, I can find you the mitzvah because the minute you're procrastinating, you don't believe that there is something that needs to be done. Okay. So, like, procrastination is not just if a person is a procrastinator in one area, is a procrastinator in every area. So it starts with the things that look to us like nothing, like a phone call. Like, but then it goes on. You know, it's like, why do we have all of these laws? Because the rabbis, the sages, said we need to put gates. What are the gates? It's to protect us from going further. Meaning, you know, why can't you turn on electricity? Why can't I, maybe I can just drive the car, but I won't watch TV on Shabbat, right? It makes no sense. So all of the locks that exist are can be opened through Torah and Mitzvot. Why? Because everything that looks not important can lead to something worse. A person who's a murderer doesn't wake up in kindergarten a murderer, right? A person who commits crimes doesn't wake up in kindergarten committing crimes. It's something that builds up. Because why? Because, you know, maybe their background or they didn't have opportunities, but every step of the way, they're given something. It's their decision if they take it or not. Understand what I'm saying? So every little thing is important. Every little thing is important. Every conversation you have is important. Every person that you talk to is important. Every person you touch is important. Everybody has the Creator in them. Everybody. So the people that are waiting around for something to happen, the people who are waiting around for the locks to open, it's never going to happen. You want something to happen, you make it happen. That's not even in Tony Robbins, they say it. But it's on the level of the Creator is telling you, you have the locks, you have the openings, you have the chambers. You can go in and get everything from the Creator, all the wisdom. But the locks are the block. The forces of separation are called locks. So everything that separates us from the Creator, everything that separates us from coming closer to the Creator is a lock.
And there's all things that we've created ourselves.
Yes. Most of it we create ourselves. There's no such thing that blocks us from the Creator that we didn't create ourselves. Nothing. Everything in our life is because we chose it to be there. Comfortable and uncomfortable. Rav Ashlag said that there's nothing that a human being does that he doesn't derive pleasure from. Even addictions. A person will not stop addictions until they stop enjoying it. Because even those people who are addicted, that they think they're suffering, they don't think they're suffering yet. What's the rock bottom thing? The rock bottom thing means that they finally are not enjoying it anymore. And then they're willing to change it. And everybody has addictions on a different level. Everybody. It doesn't have to be drugs and sex and whatever it is. Alcohol, all those things. Those are the extreme. But everybody has addictions on a certain level. Those addictions are keeping us away from the Creator. Because we're slaves. You have a choice. You can be a slave to the Creator or a slave to your desires. We're all slaves to something. We're never really free. What's free? Free is choosing to be with the Creator. Free is choosing the system. There's no such thing as free. To be free from everything. There's no such thing. A person who wants to be free from everything is a slave of everything. There's a system. You want to be a slave of the Creator and the system, or you want to be a slave to all of those locks that you're creating? We create the locks. We create the locks, and the system exists. It says, if we overcome them, the locks, the blockages, since they block the gates of approaching and drive us away from the Creator, but if we overcome them so they don't affect us, cooling His love from our hearts, the locks become doors. The darkness becomes light and the bitter becomes sweet. Over all the locks, we receive a special degree in His providence, meaning they become openings and the degrees of attainment of the Creator. And those degrees that we receive on the openings become halls of wisdom. So the minute that you have those openings, every single opening becomes a hall of wisdom. Every single opening becomes a place for us to learn more, to connect more, to see more. Also, those who keep the Torah are seemingly the ones who make it, because all those forces of separation are transformed and becomes gates. Each lock becomes a key, and each door becomes a hall of wisdom. By those who keep the Torah, all the degrees that are included in the thought of creation to delight His creatures become revealed. So what happens when we go through the gates and every lock becomes the key and every key becomes a door and every door becomes the hall of wisdom? What do we get? Whatever the Creator intended for us in the beginning. Whatever the Creator intended us from the beginning is what we get. And it follows that all the wisdom and the whole Torah are revealed only by those who keep the Torah, those in whom there is doing, in whom there is good and evil. This is why they are called keepers of the Torah, for it appears only through them. So the people who know the difference between good and evil and the ones that go by the mitzvot in the Torah are the ones that are able to go through those locks and openings and gates. For they are seemingly the ones who make the Torah. This is so because were it not for their concealments, which have become gates through their prevailing, the Torah would have not been revealed. Meaning, the only reason they were able to open those openings so big is because they had so many concealments. If you have so much negativity, that's how much light you can reveal. A person who wakes up in the morning and is not a murderer and says, I'm not going to murder today, hasn't revealed any light. Why? Because he doesn't have the desire to kill. So he doesn't have the desire to do it, so he's not revealing any light. A person who gets up in the morning and is not a thief and says, I'm not going to steal today, didn't do anything. But a person who's a thief and gets up in the morning and says, today I'm not going to steal, he did something. Because he has the innate desire to do that thing, and he overcame it. He opened the lock. So, and we can use that in everything in our life. It's so deep, and yet so easy, and yet so hard. It sounds simple, right? This is not good for me. I'm not going to do it. How many of us actually, 8 o'clock in the morning, this is not good for me, I'm not going to do it. How many, by 8 o'clock in the evening, haven't done it? We don't take it seriously. We don't really believe that there's a system. We don't really believe there's a system, and that's why we don't do it. We don't have faith. We think that it's just all random. It's not random. And we have the strength inside of us to do it. It's there. The Creator gave us the Torah. The Creator puts the challenges there. What's our free will? What's free will? Do you think we have free will? We don't have free will. It's there in front of us. It's just to choose light or darkness. Very simple. Locks or openings. Do we want the keys? You have a million locks. Why wouldn't you want a key to open your door? You're stuck outside of your house, right? What are you going to do? You're going to break in, or you're going to want the keys so that you can just open the door and go in. Because if you break in, eventually you're going to have to fix the door, you're going to have to fix the window. But if you have a key to walk in, it's much easier. We have the key. We have the key. So at the end of all the gates, he made a gate with several locks. That gate is called Malchut of Malchut, the final point of all the upper gates. This last gate is the first gate for the upper wisdom. That is, it is possible to be rewarded with the upper wisdom only after the attainment of this last gate specifically. As for the attainment of the upper chokhmah, it is the first gate. That's why it's written, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Since fear of the Lord is called the last gate, which is the first for the wisdom of the Lord. What does that mean? That it's not just about having awe for the Creator. It's understanding that the Creator created this universe for us. The Creator created this universe so that he could give us pleasure. That was the thought of creation. That's the original thought. No one's supposed to suffer. No one's supposed to have pain. No one's supposed to go through agony. There wasn't even supposed to be death. We created all of that, and we create all of that every single day. We create all of the chaos. We create all the suffering. The Creator doesn't create chaos. Everything is perfect. In the endless world, there is no chaos. There is no separation. There is no suffering. There's no pain. The thought of creation was enjoyment. That's it. Can you imagine? The thought of creation was just to enjoy. That's why we have desires, because we remember. Why do we want to be comfortable? Because in the endless, we were comfortable. There was no such thing as suffering. There was no such thing as pain. That's why we want it. But we don't realize that, yes, we want to go back to that, and we can, if we go by a system. And that system will give you the keys. So if we understand that the Creator created a world that's completely opposite from him so that he could give, because we didn't have, there was no vessel to receive, right? So the Creator had to create something to receive. So the Creator created the universe to receive. And in that respect, everything is opposite. And then we, in our desire, found this universe more tasty, more comfortable, more, we can touch it, we can feel it, we can see it. So we go after that, which is fine if we understand the meaning of the locks. The meaning of the locks on the gates is so that we can overcome, so that we can get closer to the Creator. Every single thing in your life that's keeping you away from the Creator, think about it. Think about what's keeping you away from the Creator, what's keeping you away from being part of the system. What's keeping you awake in the morning from saying, it's not so important. I can do it next week. I can do it tomorrow. I can do it next year. I can do it in 3 months. That's the procrastination. That's where the procrastination comes in. That's where the Torah and mitzvot are helping to... Everything, you know, it's amazing. Everything in our life is addressed in the Torah and mitzvot. Everything. There's nothing that's not addressed in the Torah. In the Torah, in the prophets, the writings, the sages, everything is thought about. If you sit down and you read the laws, and you read the Torah, and you read the commentaries, they thought about everything. Everything is there. But we choose to read philosophy, and we choose to read motivation books, which are important. I'm not saying they're not important, but they're important for a certain thing. If they motivate you to become closer to the Torah and the mitzvot, read as much as you want, as long as you know that that's not the goal. Because we think the goal is the locks. The goal is not to get to the locks. The goal is to open the locks and to go through the door so that we can get all of the gifts from the Creator. That's the goal. Okay, questions? I'll give you 5 minutes for questions. Come on, don't be afraid.
A few times you mentioned the word faith.
Yes.
It's not faith, it'd be easy. I mean, better to use the word belief than faith. Because faith
belief is something that you have to understand to believe.
Right.
Faith is having faith in the Creator.
Yeah, but having the belief in the Creator is more stronger than having faith in the Creator.
Depends how you look at it.
Absolutely,
yeah. I mean, yes, you can believe in the creator, but what happens when you don't understand? You're just going to leave it?
Yeah, but taking things on faith, that means I don't understand it.
No, no, no. I'm not saying that you should just have faith. But if you just believe and you don't have faith, you believe because you were shown it. You were proved it, right? So do you have faith in your car or do you believe in your car?
Well,
do you have faith in a plane?
Thing, because they can break down at any time.
But the thing is, you drive a car because you...
I maintain it, I believe in my maintenance, keeps it going.
Right. So the belief can keep you going if you have faith.
Well, I still have a problem with that.
because
faith for me is something, you take something that, you know, you cannot prove it, you cannot do anything about it, but take it as faith. I just faith.
Oh, yeah, you shouldn't have blind faith. That's blind faith. Blind faith, for sure not. You have to study. The Torah and Mitzvot is not something that you can read and understand without studying it. For sure. You have to study. That's where you're absolutely right. Not blind faith. Because why do people not keep the system? Because they don't know what the system is. Most of us learn in, you know, school a million years ago, because we're all a million years old, what we're supposed to do. But how many of us actually study and understand and realize that there's a system? The system exists. How many of us study the system? Most of us don't. How many of us every day take 15 minutes to learn something new in the system? Or the hardest part of the system that you don't want to do, 100% you don't want to do. 10 minutes a day to study it, to say, oh, now I understand why I need to do it. So having... faith means that there's a, understanding there's a system. Having belief in faith means that I want to study the system. Make sense?
Not yet.
Sure. Okay. No, it's not blind faith. I don't believe in blind faith. I don't believe that you should do something as you were told to, because that's not the system.
So faith is not a blind, like you don't accept it whatever?
No, you accept it whatever, and then you don't know what you're doing, and that's why most people leave religion. Because they're told something, or then they ask a question and they don't get an answer that makes sense. Most of the religions today don't give you an answer that you can, why? Why? Why do we light candles? Why do we do a motzi? Why do we put salt on the bread? Why do we? There's blind faith and there's faith. Blind faith means that you follow something that you don't understand just because you were told. Faith and belief means that there's a system. This is the system, okay? I'm telling you that this system is going to work. First, take the system. Then study it. Understand it. And then do it. But you can't just take the system and say, okay, I don't read English, but you're telling me that this is the system, so whatever you tell me, I'm going to do. That's blind faith. No way. There's a system. There's the Torah Mitzvot. There's the sages that wrote all of these things. There's a million books on halachot. There's a million ways to learn the system. But there's a system. Not because I said it. Because it's there. It exists way before me. And there's books in every possible language that you can think of to read. There's Google. There's everything today. It's not like a million years ago where your teacher said, you know, this is what it is and goodbye. Because most of us don't even understand that. Most of us didn't understand that then. Nobody understood that it was a system of life. People thought it was a religion. It's not a religion. It's a system of life. It's not a religion. We made it a religion because we need something to hold on to. But it's a system of life. You go by the system, it works. You don't go by the system, it doesn't work. And it's about how much are we willing to lie to ourselves. Most of us lie to ourselves all the time. Because it's just so much easier than understanding the system. It's much easier than understanding why I should do this and I shouldn't do this. Why I should, I don't know, whatever. You could pick one thing. Why I should do it instead of not doing it, because not doing it is much easier. How many of us like praying? How many of us like building a sukkah? How many of us like Pesach? How many of us? Most of us don't. But why do we do it? Because we understand the system. It doesn't mean you have to like the system. It doesn't mean you have to like sitting out in the heat with a lulav and an etrog for 2 hours doesn't mean you have to like it. Doesn't mean, like, you know, we were in Israel and Eliyahu and the boys were in a place where, I'm not joking, like, people were like on top of each other like this in a sukkah that was so hot and ridiculous, right? And it was like the original students of Avashlag, and they pray for like 7 hours. I'm not joking, 7 hours. How many, you think they enjoyed that? There's a system. Most people don't, I'll tell you a secret, most men don't enjoy praying. They don't. I can tell you that if you go to a minyan in the morning, half of them are asleep. Now, if they understand that it's a system and they're doing it because they want to do it, and they are doing it from joy, and then they know that the tefillin are going to help them during the day with everything else that they can't overcome, and that's why they're putting the tefillin, then they'll get something out of it. Then they'll be able to open the locks. If they're doing it because their wives are pushing them, or, I don't know, their mothers, or I don't know why men go that don't believe in it. But if they're just there, just to be there, they're not going to get anything out of it. Yes, yes, but the nishma has to come at some time.
Right.
You know, fake it till you make it, but you got it, yes. The first year, the first month, the first whatever, you got to fake it till you make it, but you can't fake it your whole life.
Yeah.
You have to, at some point, know why you're doing it and want to do it. Nasev nishma means we'll do it and then we'll listen, right? So yeah, okay, I'm going to do it first, no problem, but at some point I need to know why I'm doing it. When I understand why I'm doing it, when I understand that there's a system, then I can open the locks. Can't open the locks before that.
It's a strong yes, it's a believer of
faith. Okay, we can get stuck on the word, I don't care. But it doesn't matter. It's understanding that we're given by the Zohar, we're given by the Torah, we're given by Rabbi Shimon, by the sages, by everybody. Locks, openings, chambers, a system. We're the ones that build the locks. That we need to believe, that we open that we're building the locks. We're building them with our negativities, with things we don't want to overcome, with things that we put off, with whatever it is. We're building those locks. Do we want to open them? And if we want to open them, there's a system. Very easy system, and it gives you keys. It can take you a second, it can take you a lifetime. That's your choice. All right, guys. Thank you.